Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am John Batchelor, Gaius, and Germanicus is here, Marco Vlejos. I greet him. We're in Londinium. It's 91 AD, late summer. The centurions and their families have had a good day of shopping, and they're headed home. We're drinking by the Thames, our cup of wine, second cup of wine. We're equus class, meaning we don't have the money to be senators. Wouldn't want to be anyway. Senator's dangerous. Equus class means maybe 100,000 sesterces if you're lucky. Senator, million plus, easy. Well, that's not us. We observe. We do not write things down, however. Recently, that's been restated to me. Do not write things down, because documents can be used by unfriendly forces. We, however, are observing not our own century, the first century AD. We're observing the 21st century AD, 2,000 years from now. And some bumpy parts of the 21st century stem from the 20th century. So we're going to wind the clock back from 2024 to 1914, and the Great War, 1914 to 1918. The combatants to this day are not at all clear for themselves why it started. To this day, there is an argument to be made that no one wanted this war and that they all got into it without reason. They just followed along. Orders were given. Momentum. However, we're here to talk about not the Great War, Austria-Hungary and Germany, the Central Powers, along with Bulgaria, versus the Entente. That would be Britain, France, Russia, Serbia. No, we're here to talk about America's position towards the Great War. Woodrow Wilson is president in 1914. He's been successful so far with what he called the preparedness campaign. Later on, that is, we're ready to fight, but we're too proud to fight. 1914, 1915, it works for him. And then there's the incident with Lusitania. And then there's Teddy Roosevelt pounding the drums for participating. And then there's the election of 16. Wilson barely beats Charles Evans Hughes and is returned to the White House. However, the war in Europe has turned monstrously, ghastly. Everyone knows the casualty lists are vast. America doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And neither did Wilson in 14, neither did Wilson in 15, neither did Wilson in 16. And then there are several incidents. At Christmas time, 16, that would be Wilson sending a note saying, I'm ready to arbitrate in some fashion. And then in early 17, there is an incident that still is a little vague, about a note from Zimmerman, the German foreign minister, to Mexico City, encouraging his ambassador to entice the Mexican government to attack America, saying that we'll provide you California if you do this for us. And by the way, the Japanese are ready to come in on your side. Nonsense like this. However, that note is used by the British Secret Service, goes one version, to inflame Woodrow Wilson. Wilson doesn't need much more than that, and then the Germans provide the what becomes the casus belli, which is declaring unrestricted submarine warfare. Well, Wilson then decides that his years of being against participating in the war go away. He asks Congress for a declaration of war on the Central Powers in early April, and America's at war. However, good evening to you, Germanicus. There was a strong voice that said Wilson was wrong. Wilson was always wrong. Roosevelt agreed with him. In fact, he agreed with Roosevelt at this point. But that voice, it's none of our affair. We're not going to get involved. Nothing will be resolved. We've been at this forever. That's why we left Europe. It goes on like that. Later on, that became, in the 1950s, isolationism. Well, here we are again, Germanicus. I observe you and I have recently familiarized ourselves with the Eastern Front. The Western Front looks like Yankee Doodle Dandy arrives to rescue our French and British allies. Well, bunk 'em in the East Front. It was all bloodlands. They were working this territory over long before 1914, and they've been working it over ever since, hence the Ukraine War. So, the isolationism, so-called, it's Woodrow Wilson, 14 to 16. It's America in that period. It's none of our affair. Is America wrong, Germanicus? Good evening to you.
Good evening, Gaius. America was founded to be, shall we say, above and yet apart. So the famous motto that is associated with Washington's farewell address, Novus Ordo Seculorum, a new order for the ages, has meant to Americans, at least for their first century or so, even longer, to be that we are a beacon to the world, an example to the world, a model for the world, but we are not going to get engaged in power politics because they are corrupting and they will corrupt us. Well, that attitude persevered in the U.S. well past the Civil War and even into the period before World War I, where by 1910, the U.S. had 30% of the world's manufacturing output and was effectively a superpower. It also had one of the three largest navies in the world, the other two being Britain and Japan, and the U.S. had an effective capability to participate in world affairs without getting sucked into, again, what Washington called entangling alliances. And, you know, the U.S. had a sense of what could go wrong there because effectively one political party in the U.S. was pro-Napoleon, and their support of Napoleon ended ensnaring us in part in the War of 1812, which resulted in several British invasions toward the end of the war and was overall a mess. And many of the feelings that Americans still had at the time of World War I saw Britain as an untrustworthy actor and as a partner that would be looking to take advantage of us. And certainly the fact that Britain waged a proxy war against the federal U.S. government during the Civil War by sustaining the South and was the lifeline of the Confederacy, in fact, is still something that people in the North remembered especially. So the American people have been wary of getting engaged abroad and only put that aside given a cataclysm of World War II. And yet World War II, at least in terms of America's engagement, was engineered by Mr. Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who worked assiduously for years to get America involved in the war and finally essentially declared war on Japan by threatening to shut down their economy. He cut off oil and he cut off scrap steel, and that accounted for Japan's entire manufacturing capability. It was going down the drain, and it was clearly a matter of months only before the Japanese had to either surrender to the United States or strike the United States. And so Americans didn't want to go to war in 1939 or 40 or 41 either. And it's only been in the wake of World War II with the fact of the Axis powers being replaced by the Red Menace and a Red Eurasia that the U.S. took up this long twilight struggle. And yet it won that struggle, and yet the U.S. kept on pushing to manage the world. And the fact is, Washington's adjuration about foreign entanglements and the corruption of foreign entanglements has proven to be correct. In other words, America became like the powers that were bleeding themselves to death in World War I, and as the triumphant victor in the Cold War, sought to essentially continue a world empire, a world under the aegis and leadership of the United States. And when that was threatened by the rise of other powers eventually, especially China, the U.S. refused to entertain another approach to the world. And that helps to explain to a large degree the situation that we're in now. And Americans have come to their senses, at least I think the majority of Americans have. They don't want to go to war over the Middle East. They don't want to go to war over the bloodlands of Eastern Europe. And they don't particularly want to go to war with China.
It's a fair question. We'll come back to this because the Biden administration says as long as it takes, and if Ms. Harris is the winner in November, I don't see her breaking from that pattern. She's not indicated in any fashion she means to break away from Ukraine. We know our allies in NATO are depending upon us to lead the support of Ukraine. Mr. Trump has had another opinion. Just all of a sudden reading Eastern Europe again in Nick Lloyd's new history of the Eastern Front, it occurs to me that nothing's changed there, Germanicus. Nothing whatsoever. No. Galicia disappeared, but it's now called Poland and Ukraine. And the Kremlin's position is we can stomp anybody we want between here and Paris. And that was the position that last few days of, what was it, July 1914, we'll mobilize the Russian army and they'll surrender. And indeed, you know, 1.4 million people get your attention when they all have weapons in their hands.
That's true, although I would be a little less harsh on Russia then and a lot less harsh on Russia now. Russia in 1914 wanted nothing to do with war because after the calamity of the Russo-Japanese War and the revolution that followed, Russia understood how weak it was, plus any of the measures of reform that it was taking within the army and building of new North-South railroads that would allow them to mobilize effectively had not been yet undertaken and wouldn't come into play until 1916 and after. And essentially, Russia in 1914, which controlled, I would say, about half of what is today Poland, was not interested really in aggrandizing any further to the West. And if you look at Russia today, it's even less interested in aggrandizing to the West. I think the Russians learned their lesson with Stalin in the Cold War that the occupation of obdurate and unhappy and highly resistant civilizations, you know, like the Poles or the Czechs or the Hungarians or Romanians, they're an albatross around your neck. So what's interesting about the war that is going on now and may go on for some time is that it really does look like World War One, because you have Western Ukraine, which was effectively part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, is arm in arm with Germany, waging war against Russians. It looks a lot like the period of the Brusilov offensive, and the thing that Putin and Russians are afraid of is another Brest-Litovsk.
All right, let me restate. When Russia started to mobilize, that set off a chain reaction.
Yes.
Okay. Russia did not attack. Germany was going to support whatever had to happen because of the assassination in Sarajevo. And when Austria appealed to Germany, the way when Serbia appealed to Russia, I wasn't looking to fault Russia, although there's fault enough for everybody, including Russia, for the first war. Back to, just to close here, a minute. America involvement in the first war. It wasn't successful, Germanicus. They were back at their throats within days.
And there was nothing we could do, because we found in Versailles that even though we were the the god, and at least in terms of the way Europeans looked to Wilson at Versailles, he could not restrain Clemenceau or Lloyd George. The French were determined to destroy Germany, and so the war indeed did not end. And there was ruthless fighting within Germany in the Civil War until 1923.
And Wilson didn't listen to people telling him that. Wilson had a utopian vision of the world made safe for whatever, fill in the race, self-determination.
He was a rigid Calvinist evangelical. That's what he was.
And our entry into the World War was not successful. It didn't stop the Russian Revolution. It didn't stop the disintegration of the Austro-Hungarian Empire and all of the poverty that followed. It certainly didn't stop the French and the British from maintaining their empires, their colonial empires, and grabbing what they could of Germany's colonial empire. And the Second War, I understand we have long celebrated our success in the Second War, but what has it come to, Germanicus?
The truth is, the manner of our success, which was total, corrupted us almost from the beginning, so that we were waging a misguided and ultimately corrupt war in Vietnam just 20 years after the end of World War II. And the worst thing that World War II did for us, which was then multiplied by an order of magnitude by our quote-unquote victory in the Cold War, was somehow we took on the mantle of having the right to rule that manifest destiny, which was a terrible term used in the war against Mexico and the expansion of slavery. That kind of attitude, however, became the touchstone for all U.S. behavior since 1991. So we have become the very thing we said, and certainly that George Washington said was anathema, is now we have become the thing we once feared and hated.
Let's go to campaign 2024, because 1914 echoes a catastrophe. It'd be good if we could say we're going to avoid it, but it's the same war. It's ongoing. 1914, 2024, same war. Germanicus, Michael Vlahos, Gaius, I'm John Batchelor. We're in Londinium, drinking a cup of wine. We'll go to the theater later. There's mimes from Rome, I'm told, tonight. What are they going to mime? We can hope for Nero. It is entertaining. Nero on the stage, winning Olympic drama ribbons. Because he's emperor, and he is witty. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.